With new paradigms for a new world, I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Today, we're going to get turned on by 8 vital insights to energize your people, your customers, and your profit. Yes, we're going to be talking about business, but we're also going to be talking about ways in which you, your business, your company, as well as your family, can rediscover the fun that is in life, both in work and in your private life. Stay tuned. It's Tell Me Your Story with co-author Susan Cook. And once again, we are here to walk and talk and understand one another and present to you new paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan. Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. And it is a beautiful Saturday afternoon here on the central coast of California, here in Santa Barbara. And we're certainly happy to come to you and bring you some new paradigms for a new world. Been an extraordinary week in business and the corporate world. And, you know, we certainly could go on and on about some of the things that we're all facing. But the reality is that it's nothing different than what the rest of the world has faced over the past millennia that man's been on the planet. It's just that we're in the 21st century and the names have changed and some of the dates, but the events seem to transpire the same. Decade in, decade out, century in, century out. Well, we're going to see how different the concepts are with my guest, Sue Cook, who is the co-author of Turned On. Again, 8 vital insights to energizing your people, customers, and profits. And Sue, welcome to our program. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure, Richard. I'm very excited about your program and to be part of it. It should be a very interesting discussion.
Let me ask you, because I found it rather interesting from my perspective, that you contacted me after hearing one of our programs. You were rather interested in what we were doing here. Tell me how you found yourself here in the hot seat.
Well, when I heard the program, Tell Me Your Story, I got very excited because what happens in business and in life, it's all about storytelling. You can remember growing up sitting around the kitchen table telling stories. And so I became fascinated to listen to your program, and I said, well, I have to be part of this, because through stories we can inspire hope, optimism, communicate a sense of well-being. People today are looking for that. And in fact, as I sit in Starbucks in the morning at 6 a.m., I have a group called a playgroup, and we just tell stories every morning. And then I started looking around, and 68% of Americans are in some sort of social group, a bridge group, a dance group, or something, telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very enthusiastic about the power of storytelling as a way to energize our business, our people, and our own lives.
Well, I was rather taken aback in one sense by the fact that, oh my gosh, somebody's out there listening, and I was excited that I know there's more than just one listening, but who was listening and rather moved to take the next step. And that energized me to a great extent. And of course, then we sat down together, the three of us, you and my wife and I, and chatted for a while. And then you told me about a book that you had written called Turned On, that I've mentioned already, 8 Vital Insights. And you co-wrote this with Roger Dow. And this goes back a few years. Tell us about how you came to understand that the way that business in particular is run isn't working or hasn't been working for a number of years, and that a new view, a new paradigm, a new belief system needs to be looked at and pursued.
Well, I have an unusual background. I grew up in New England, and I worked at my dad's gas station for many years, and he always said to me, you know, if you take care of the customers, take care of your people, you'll do the right thing. And I always believed that. And then I worked in retailing for a number of years in New York, and then I moved on to Apple Computer in the early days. And part of starting Apple, being at Apple Computer, changed my life. It changed my life because I found out that there's no limit to how great people can be.
Mm-hmm.
And we believed we were changing the world one person at a time. And I started Apple University, and the concept was, where in the world can we learn and with who. And it's not about a classroom. So I started to see the paradigms change when I went there. I had been through all the typical training programs that I'd seen, the inspirational, motivational speakers. And then I am there, and Steve Jobs said, well, what do you want to be? And I said, well, a princess. I'd been a vice president of personnel, and I didn't like that very much. So I said, okay, well, this is really cool. So I get to be a princess. And he says, my dream is I want Apple University to feel like Disneyland. Hmm. And I was there about 2 weeks. He said, so where is it? So from that time forward, I said I'd never write a book. Why would you write a book? This is common sense. Common sense is if you take care of your customers, you inspire your people, you're going to make money. But as I was with Apple, I became fascinated with learning from the best in the world. So we would take adventure trips every place in the world. And go behind the scenes of Mary Kay Cosmetics. And I'd have CEOs holding their hands up and singing the Mary Kay enthusiasm song. Mm-hmm. Because my belief is to create experience for people, that learning is about the world as a laboratory for learning. Learning is about creating experiences for people to be great. And then my belief became very clear that there's no limit to how great people can be. And so between my experiences at Apple of going behind the scenes of many, many companies, and then I went on to be partners with Tom Peters, who wrote In Search of Excellence in the 80s, the phones always rang with people who were great companies saying, how can I be better? A Harley Davidson. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine customer loyalty? Somebody has a tattoo on their arm, and they're calling to say, what can we do better for our customers, for our people? So during the next 5 years, as I worked with them, we went behind the scenes of every great company, small and large, in America, with a group of people. And then I got a call from Marriott Hotels one day from Roger Dow, who at the time was Senior Vice President of Marketing and Sales at Marriott. And he said, look, I need a really crazy idea. That I just walked out of a meeting with Bill Marriott, and we're in trouble. And this was like 91. He said, we may have to lay off 265,000 people in the next 4 months. Do you have any stupid ideas? Mm-hmm. So this got me on the path to the book. I know this is a long-winded way of getting to the book, but this is really what inspired it, because at this point, yes, I did have a stupid idea, which I told him. I said, why don't we get Bill Marriott and your team to bring together 10 of your top customers, and I'll bring 10 great customers from other companies who are doing wonderful things for their customers, for their people, and they're making money. I said, there have to be some secrets. There have to be some lessons. Up until that first meeting, which I'll remember, was on Bill Marriott's vacation at Camelback Hotel. His wife kept saying, this is not a good idea. This is definitely not a good idea. And what happened is after one day we threw out the agenda, and the only agenda was people telling stories of what works in America. And you had people from small business, large business, talking about what works is you have to be obsessed with your customers. It's not enough to just give them what they want. You got to do the basics brilliantly every time. Mm-hmm. And then you really have to delight them. And you can't do that if you don't know your customers. And so everyone looked around the room. And I'll never forget Bill Marriott after that first day. We're at a barbecue, and he turned to me and he said, you know, I let the MBAs run the company. We've been running it by numbers. I'm going back to what my dad said. I'm going back to basics, hot food hot, cold food cold. And as a result of that first gathering, The big change was that this group decided to be a leadership forum in America, and the commitment was we would support each other to be great, that what more than anything what America needs is to tell the stories of people who are doing great things, mm-hmm. small or large. So for the next 10 years, up until 9/11, every year we went behind the scenes of some company and shared stories of what was working, challenged each other. And the best part of it is Marriott Hotels went on to validate with 2,000 hotels what were the basics that they had to surpass the expectations. And you can imagine as a customer what they are. I mean, it's not really hard. I mean, think about yourself, Richard, as a customer.
Exactly.
When was the last time in the last week have you had an extraordinary experience as a customer?
Not extraordinary, no.
But
I mean, I've been served, but it was like just served.
Well, let me ask you
this
question.
It wasn't a bad experience, if that's what you're asking.
No, I'm not looking for a bad experience.
Okay.
Let me flip the tables, because this is what I ask around the world, and this is really important to the conversation of why I would endeavor to do a book from this group with Marriott Hotels. And the question is, in the last week of your life, if you can remember, in a hotel, a restaurant, department store, gas station, bank, airline, have you had an extraordinarily great experience? Great.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had one? Can you think of one?
Extraordinarily great, I would have to say no.
It's interesting because everywhere I go in the world, I've been obsessed with customers and people and profits for 30 years now. And when there's a great place to go, like a great restaurant, it's booked, whether or not the economy is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have standing room. You can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I ask this one question everywhere I go, and I maybe out of 700 people get 3 people to raise their hands. And they say, yes, I had an extraordinary experience. And I say, well, tell me about it. And they say, well, I was in Nordstrom's, and I found what I was looking for. And someone took my money. And I said, well, that's extraordinary. And they said, that's extraordinary in retail today. And I said, what was so extraordinary about it? Well, usually you can't find what's advertised. And it's impossible to get someone to take your money in a retail store. And then I'd hear another one. I went to a restaurant, haven't been to before. And what was extraordinary is I didn't like what they were serving for the vegetables, and they absolutely could change them for me. And that was extraordinary. So I started thinking, this is really crazy. Am I missing something here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's extraordinary if someone gives you what you want, when you want it, at a price you're willing to pay.
So their expectations are rather low, and those expectations were actually met. And so they view that as extraordinary just because they got exactly what they wanted, no more, no less.
Absolutely. And so imagine in this world today when we're worried about the business and the economy, okay, I felt really compelled with this leadership forum group. They said you have to write a book and put in some of these stories and some of these simple things. And I said, it's common sense. You know, talk to your customers. Ask what they want. Give it to them.
Yeah.
Make a mistake. Fix it.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we want a book with big print, funny stories, and practical ideas. And so with that, that's how the book got started, because we just documented what we were learning over the 10 years everywhere we went. I'll never forget, we were at Harley-Davidson. And if you want to learn about the culture of Harley-Davidson, you have 25 bikers pick up your group at the hotel and take them on a tour of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go out to dinner in a 50s diner. So it's not about a fancy dinner. It's not about a lecture on the Harley-Davidson way.
Right.
We experienced being with the people to find out, well, what works.
Right.
And so the commonality to all of the companies that I've studied over the years is a very simple formula. Take care of your customers, take care of your people, and you will make money.
Let me see if I'm understanding clearly, and hopefully our listeners are as well. I go to a restaurant, and I'm just throwing numbers out here because of where I'm thinking. Steak is $100 for a nice piece of steak and the ambiance, et cetera, et cetera. And I get to the front door, and I walk in, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, I get seated, and I'm still waiting for the waiter or waitress to come by and take my order just for the drinks. They finally, and so the process is drawn out, and I'm getting very frustrated, and I wouldn't even pay him a dime for the steak, let alone $100. The other scenario is, same restaurant, only this time, there's nobody there to seat me. The busboy comes up and says, I'll take you to your table. And he actually, though he doesn't know all of the proper procedures, he gets something to write down the information about our drinks and so forth, gets us a couple of menus. This is the busboy. And he is there working because everybody else is busy. No one's slacking off. It's just that they're really busy. But he shows that attentiveness to us until the waiter or waitress can come. And so the process continues. I'm more likely to say spend $200 for that steak in that scenario than a dime in the previous scenario. Is that kind of where we're kind of going with this as far as your customers? It doesn't matter who your customer is or who you are in the business. If there's somebody there that needs, the customer's walked in the door, somebody needs to be attentive to that customer.
Yeah, that's a great example. In this day and age, it sort of reminds me of the nostalgia factor, you know, the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
We're bombarded with information every day, thousands mm-hmm. of messages and computers telling us you're number 10 in line and an 800 number that says push 7, push 9, push 13. And then they cut off and say you made a fatal flaw. So what people are desperate for is a personal touch.
Yeah.
And they really don't care if you're the busboy or the bellhop.
Yeah.
Or the person in accounting. And in truly great companies, every person believes that is their customer.
Yeah.
And other companies, we're still arguing who is the customer.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it the one on the phone? Is it the one in front of me?
Mm-hmm. Is it the one on the internet?
Is it the one? I love healthcare. Is it the physician? Is it the patient? Is it the family?
Yeah.
Is it the third-party payers? So we've been arguing this for 30 years.
Yeah.
And the companies that get it, small companies, I'll give you one quick story of getting it. And it's a personal story. I was living in Northern California, and I was commuting about 30 miles a day to my office in Palo Alto. And my car needed servicing. The air conditioning system had gone out. And I called my dealer, and they said in 3 weeks I could get an appointment. But to get that appointment in 3 weeks meant that I had to arrange someone to take me to work, someone to pick me up. Okay, and so I knew that was never going to happen because I travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And out of frustration, I drove into my local Chevron station, and I said, I have to ask a question. Are you open nights and weekends? And they said, of course we are. And I said, well, do you repair cars nights and weekends? Of course we do. And I tell him what my car needs, and I ask for when I can get an appointment. And he says, well, you can get an appointment today. I'll take you to work. I'll pick you up after work, and you'll have your car. So I turned to him, and I said, how can you afford to do this? He says, how can I afford not to do this?
Yeah.
And he said, didn't you know you drove into Caesar's Palace, and I'm Caesar?
And we're going to continue this conversation because we're going to take this in a particular direction. I'm going to throw out something, though, that seems to be getting in the way of that kind of attitude, not just by business owners, but by employees. Most of the places that I have worked over the years, I have really tried to take the attitude that I am representing that company. I'm not an employee. Now, I may not own stock in the company. I may not have of an investment financially in the company, but I do have a vested interest. IBM in the mid-1990s was going to lay off some 100,000 people because one of their plants had lost $1 million. They knew how they had lost it because employees were taking items over the year from the plant. And so they lost $1 million, so they're going to lay some people off because the people thinking, they don't pay me enough. Yeah, so I'm going to take this pencil, and I'm going to take this stapler, and I'm going to take the circuit board, and they don't really, you know, and they don't treat me well, they don't give me enough health care. So they take this attitude of, you know, if the company isn't going to give it to me, I'm going to take it. And so they end up injuring the company when the reverse needs to be the attitude of, I need to preserve this company. I need to take care of this like I would my own family, because if I don't, then the job may not be there tomorrow. That is, to me, what seems to be inculcating our business sector across the board, from privately owned companies, mom and pop, to some degree, to the corporations. I don't know if this is prevalent around the world, but it seems like it's in this country, and ergo, the downside of customer service. So we want to try to turn that around here.
Well, let me respond to you in two things. I'm an optimist, and I'm a gardener.
Okay.
I believe in planting the seeds and watering and nurturing and weeding when you have to.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what people will be great in an organization. I believe very strongly from my years and my stories and my writing, there are great people doing great things every single day, and we tend to focus on what's not working.
Mm-hmm.
So if the way we need to do right now, Americans are fabulous when there's a crisis. Right now there's an economic crisis. It's terrific because this is when you get innovative. You don't have the money to throw at it. You're not going to do 42 training programs. You might even tell your employees this is the bottom line. And how can you help?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a couple examples who are doing it. And I think that what we need to focus our news on, our media on, our TV on, is stories of what people can do,
mm-hmm.
and what people are doing, because that inspires me.
Mm-hmm.
My friend's son had trouble playing Little League. He could never, ever hit the ball. And his dad was so embarrassed, and he said, well, I'll do is I'll give him training sessions on how to hit a ball so he doesn't strike out every time he gets up to bat.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him lessons, and he gave him lessons. And then the day of the big game came, and he struck out twice, and he's up to bat. And all of a sudden, he had seen the kid before him hit a home run. So Blake gets up, and he hits a home run. So the father said to him, I guess all my training paid off. Blake said, no, Dad, you don't get it. I saw Jimmy hit a home run. I said, hell, if he can do it, I can. So the story is people are at work doing one thing, and in great companies, they're really being tapped into to be partners of the business. They believe they own the business.
Yeah.
Caesar in that gas station believed he owned the company. He didn't. He was a part-time worker.
Yeah.
You know, he believed it. Let me give you Southwest Airlines. 35 years of profit in a very tough industry, very tough times. They put their money where their mouth is. You ask Colleen Barrett what their secret is. We love people.
Mm-hmm.
We love people. Okay? Other people say they love people. 85% of companies in America have some kind of program around customer satisfaction and employee loyalty. But 30% are getting real results, and they get the results because of how they implement it. We need to tell those stories. One of the stories I heard at Southwest Airlines, I loved it. It was a new flight attendant. She goes through her training, and Colleen Barrett, who's the chairman, personally runs the culture committee at Southwest Airlines,
mm-hmm.
made up of 140 employees throughout the whole organization. And they get together quarterly and share what's working and what's not for the employees and for the customers. And then they take action. You know, it's a radical notion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said to her, well, don't you hire marketing people to do these surveys for you? She said, hell no. I just read the letters and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a big company.
Yeah.
So now this young flight attendant is, every month they get all the information on the financials of the company. Their pay, their hiring is all tied to the bottom line of customer satisfaction, people satisfaction, and being profitable, because if we're not, we won't have jobs. So mm-hmm. they're very honest. So this young woman comes back from her first flight, and Colleen Barrett said, you know, my door is always open. Everyone knows this. The walls of Southwest Airlines are covered with love letters to each other and from customers on what a good job you do. And they promised 24-hour turnaround. So this young girl sends an email to Colleen Barrett and said, I couldn't help but think about the bottom line when we were flying, because we had these garbage bags with the Southwest Airlines logo on it. And she said, you know, I don't really think anyone at 35,000 feet really cares that it says Southwest Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think we can get rid of that? Well, that was $250,000 savings.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of somebody who understood that her job is not just a flight attendant. She owns this company. And the people who belong on this culture committee believe that on the holidays, they know that Colleen Barrett will be out answering the phones. They know that people from the executive team will be out putting baggage on planes. It's not multiple choice. So mm-hmm. they don't talk one way and do it another way.
Right.
Everything is tied around those three priorities. And that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Those stories on large and small companies are critical.
I remember my best friend in Phoenix, as I was growing up in school, made the comment when he was working in various bookstores and working his way up through the bigger chains there in Phoenix. And he would clean the restrooms. And he cleaned them because they needed it. But he was also using this as a motivational tool, saying, look, I'm the manager of the station, and I'm cleaning the restrooms. So if I clean them, then I expect you to clean them too, because they need to be done and because we all have to do this together. We all have to work together. And we're going to continue talking more about this. And we're actually going to talk about an opportunity for you to discover some of your dreams and move forward in your life as we continue talking with Sue Cook, co-author of Turned On. A rather intriguing title, 8 Vital Insights to Energize Your People, Customers, and Profit. Here on Tell Me Your Story, I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us. You can hear this interview after the program is over by going to richarddugan.com and clicking on the Listen Live link. Stay tuned. Tell Me Your Story is the name of the program. I'm Richard Dugan, and I want you to stay tuned. We're going to continue talking with Sue Cook. She's the co-author of Turned On, and we're also going to be talking about cruising. That's right, and how this all ties in together with not just your business and your company, but with your family as well, both your immediate as well as your extended family, and just yourself as far as having some fun in your life. Stay with us. More Tell Me Your Story is coming up right here. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and this program comes your way both on AM 1290, but also via the Internet. We stream live every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m., at richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. You can also email me. I really would like to hear from you, and I've heard from quite a number of you. That's richard@richarddugan.com. richard@richarddugan.com. And we look forward to hearing from you and to talking with you as well as Sue Cook, co-author of Turned On. And Sue, it's an extraordinary thing for us to be looking at business, because normally we here on the program, as you have heard, deal with a lot of the more metaphysical and esoteric aspects. But the reality is that it is through those concepts, if you will, that we can bring about some of these changes in our own lives and in the even in the businesses, whether we frequent them or whether we operate them or work for them. And it really is a matter of shifting attitude. I have this little stone thing on my desk at home that basically says attitude is everything. And I have to say that in regards to what you've already shared about business, and again, I'm playing the devil's advocate here, trying to keep it in a positive light, but I had a boss once who basically lived by the law of diminishing returns. Don't put out any more than you know you're going to get back. I just couldn't live like that, because when a customer, a radio programmer, would come into the station and want to have this thing done, this huge project, and they only signed a contract for 6 weeks, I figured, what difference does it make 6 weeks or 6 months? Because if he walks out of here in 6 weeks, at the end of his contract, he's walking out of here with a good appraisal of the station. And he may tell other people, oh, yeah, I was only on for 6 weeks. Boy, they sure treated me nice. Which starts to spread the word about that station or whatever the company is. Doesn't make any difference. And that's really what we're talking about, not just the bottom line here. We're talking about treating people. There is the devil's advocate golden rule, and then the golden rule. And the devil's advocate is treat other people the way you've been treated, as opposed to treat people the way you'd like to be treated. And that, I mean, that applies across the board. You are also involved in a business now that is sort of giving people that motivation, that inspiration, because it gets them out of their day-to-day lives, their day-to-day surroundings, and puts them in a whole different surrounding that is fun, it's energetic, it's lively, it's new and it's different. And that's basically a cruise company. Basically, it is cruisebargains.com. How did you get involved in that? I mean, because it seemed like you were doing pretty good in the other area there with Apple and Marriott. I mean, I would have stayed.
Well, I continued to do both. But what happened is a good thing. And last year, I was tired of seeing all my friends' children go to Europe. and go to study for a year. And I had done that as a student. And I said, why not reenact what we did at Apple, which was have sabbaticals for people to go and learn and study, clear your mind, learn anything. Mm-hmm. So I went off to Turkey for 3 months. Had a fabulous time. I learned to speak some Turkish. I learned about the culture. I learned if you want to teach people about service and people, send them to Turkey for a month to learn about some of the Sufi wise tales of, I'll give you a specific. They believe that if we have a cup of coffee together, that we will be friends for 40 years. That is so profound. So I met people all summer who thought, they're going to be friends with me for 40 years. And I came back really inspired and said, what can I do locally in Santa Barbara? Mm-hmm. What kind of business can I get involved in where I'm actually practicing what I preach and that I could create experiences for people to be great? I have done that in business. I've worked with the Air Force Medical Service around the world to create healing environments. And so I got a call. If you put it out there, someone in Santa Barbara is going to say, have I got something for you? So I bought cruisebargains.com. It's been around for 25 years with a fabulous reputation from the East Coast, built on service, quality, and value. And I said, well, that's exciting. And then I started looking at that what's so wonderful is in this economy, it's all about the experience. Mm-hmm. And the price of travel has just escalated tremendously. And I started looking. I said, what do I know about cruising other than I'm an adventure traveler? And what I found out, there are price points for people of all ages. And that we really could inspire kids of all ages, families of all ages, to tap into their personal passions and their talents and share experiences with a family. Instead of going to Aunt Matilda's for Thanksgiving where it's very stressful and everyone's on good behavior, what would happen if we could go to the Mexican Riviera as a family? And as I started looking at this, it's fun. Mm-hmm. I'm having a great time. I met a group of people in Starbucks a few months ago, and they said, hey, we get here every morning and share coffee. Let's go on a cruise. So we just took them to the Western Caribbean. And at the end of a week, people who didn't know each other at all, we had created a magic book of photos that says it all. Mm-hmm. And they've already planned their reunion for next year.
Oh, my gosh.
And one of the people said to me, he said it was so profound. He hates cruises, thought it was a stupid idea, which was really good. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to hear what he came up with. But he said, you know, from now on, instead of giving Christmas gifts, I'm going to give a cruise. Because I remember as a kid all the places I went with my family. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what shirt I got. I don't remember what game I got. So that started some magic for me. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking at, okay, how can you as an organization practice what I preach about customers and people, keep it small, and keep it personalized for customers. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we've done a number of things in conjunction with Direct Relief and the Vintners here locally, where we have a cruise in October, a Crystal Cruise Rome to Barcelona, and we have 4 people on it who support Direct Relief, and a percentage of my commission goes to Direct Relief for them going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really exciting. And then other vintners said, well, gee, why don't you put together some wine cruises any place in the world? So we're just introducing wine and food culinary discovery cruises. And we're calling them discovery cruises because what really hit me, it's about discovering what's magical.
Yeah.
If you are passionate about wine and food and you want to learn more, we're able to put together the best in the world. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to Chile in February, we found this wonderful cruise that is a great price, especially with the dollar difference. And we found a local vintner who wants to lead it and bring a group of people. So we said, well, that's fun. What about dance?
Yeah.
And so now we're looking at a whole line of discovery cruises for families, for dance aficionados. Mm-hmm. And they exist. We are linked with over 22 We have we're like a brokerage operation with 22 cruise lines. It's only up to our imagination.
Yeah.
So that's how we got into it. Yeah.
And our imagination, if anybody's using theirs now, will kind of take this to the next level. That one of the reasons why I wanted to talk with Sue both off air as well as here on the program was not only about her book, but also about an opportunity that we are looking at together. And that is putting together another type of discovery cruise, dream cruises of a sort, where we would have folks who have been on this radio program or who might be on this program or who basically are of, well, we like to use the phrase of like mind, who are interested in sharing these different beliefs, these ideas, these concepts, these principles, well, these new paradigms, and do this in the setting of a cruise where they would have a workshop or a seminar or some type of collective event on the cruise ship for people to attend, and this is the reason that they would go. And the nice thing about it is that, yeah, you know, you go to seminars and workshops all over the place, whether you travel on land to this place and that place and the other, and you have to stay in a hotel and all this kind of stuff, and it's kind of stressful. Well, guess what? On a cruise ship, when you leave the seminar, the workshop, or whatever it is that you've just attended with this special guest speaker or speakers, you're on a fun cruise ship, and you're relaxing already. I mean, it's a great opportunity. So we're actually working to put those kinds of things together.
Yeah, that the fun part of that for me also is because I love creating experiences and magic, that we're working with companies who want to take their best employees on a cruise to thank them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what else can you do for them on the cruise? So we start to plan, gee, we could do these activities. We could have them learning something.
Yeah.
And we could do it in a fun way. We could have an excursion. I'm fascinated by the possibilities as body, mind, and spirit you and I talked about.
Yes.
Who are the people in the field that we'd love to have with us? And I see, you know, as I said to you, Richard, anyone who wants to put together a special cruise around body, mind, and spirit, around bridge, art, theater.
Whatever you can think,
of, we can we can help you design it. We can have people on board with it. We can. I'll give you an example. Jim Whittaker was the first American to climb Mount Everest, and he has worked with me. We created Jim Whittaker Discovery Camps for executives to inspire them on how do you create an environment to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jim not only climbed Mount Everest, the first American, he also started REI International, and he brought three countries, Russia, China, and America, together on Earth Day to the top of Mount Everest to clean the garbage off because he's committed to the environment.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to Jim before I came here, and he is more than willing to be part on one of our Discovery Cruises.
Mm-hmm.
So you name it, you come up with it, and we know people who could be lecturers. They could be participants. The magic really is it's not about others. It's about all of us.
Yeah.
Who do we want to learn from? How can we inspire ourselves for a great experience and also have fun? Right now, the other issue is why I love this business is because time is everything. People have so little time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're concerned about the economy. And this is one of the few things that I can say, a cruise has something for everyone. I sat there in the Western Caribbean and I watched somebody be in the spa, someone be in the bar, someone be in the casino,
mm-hmm.
someone climbing a rock wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is all of a sudden the grandparents or the parents, people are saying, geez, I could do what I want. All I have to do is show up for dinner.
There you go.
And it's affordable because I know what the costs are up front.
Right.
And it's convenient. So that's why I'm fascinated by it.
The other aspect of it, too, is as far as the cost is concerned, once you have paid for the cruise, you can choose never to leave the ship, and you're never going to run out of opportunities to do things. And yet, getting off the ship doesn't cost you anything either. You can walk around just off the pier, what have you, and enjoy the various places, the ports of call that you go to. I have been on a couple of cruises in my lifetime, And they have just been extraordinary. I mean, just the people that you meet. I think that's the other exciting thing, too, is people that we have an opportunity to encounter and have experiences with. We're going to continue talking with Sue Cook. She's the co-author of Turned On. She is also, are you the owner of CruiseBargains.com?
One of the co-owners.
Co-owners. And we're going to give all the information about that here in just a couple of moments. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. And Sue Cook is my guest. And we're cruising right along, no pun intended here, as we continue here on a Saturday afternoon. We hope that you will stay with us here on Tell Me Your Story. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're talking with Sue Cook with CruiseBargains.com. That is the website, CruiseBargains.com. If you'd like to book a cruise, call 1-800-213-7777. That's 800-213-7777. And you can book a cruise to Alaska, the Mediterranean, the Greek Isles, South Pacific, French Polynesia, just about anywhere you can think of you can cruise to. And we'll be back on Tell Me Your Story. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan here with Sue Cook. And Sue, you have some special dates. The 4th of July, which, well, it's the 4th of July. It's Independence Day. But you've got something else to tie into that, as well as July 19th regarding CruiseBargains.com.
Well, what's interesting is the good news is there's still space on ships this summer. People are thinking that there's no space. So we are going to be with the Elks in Goleta on July 4th all day. We're going to have a booth. Anything you want to know about cruising, stop by and talk to us.
And that's going to be, what event is that?
That is the Elks, actually, their July 4th party.
Oh, okay. And so, do you have an address for
and
us?
The address I don't have with me. It's at the Elks Lodge in Goleta.
Okay. I think I know where that is, and it's where? I'm sorry.
Kellogg.
Okay. In Goleta. And again, can you call 1-800-213-7777
yes,
for further information? Okay. What about the 19th?
And the 19th of July is the California Wine Festival at Chase Palm Park. There's going to be 3,000 people there and 100 wineries. And we're excited. We are going to have a booth there. And we have selected with one of our cruise lines a wonderful European cruise that will be on special. And a portion of that that cruise of our commission will go back to the food bank.
Wonderful.
So another opportunity for people to come. And what we're going to have at both places, we'll have a calendar of upcoming specials. We recommend you go to the website, sign up for the newsletter, or call us. Think any place in the world you want to go, we'll find it. We'll give you the best service. And it's a great family reunion.
Well, now, this is interesting, and I love the broad range here. The Alaskan Voyage of Glacier 7 days is under $600
yes,
per person.
Yes.
Whereas you have this would blow me away. I don't know that I could. I don't think they would let me go away for 35 days. World Cruise segments now available. Fort Lauderdale to Sydney, 35 days for basically $7,200. But you're talking about a month and 5 days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you figure out how
save
much.
Save up that vacation time.
Well, and Alaska is a real wonderful place this summer to go. And,
oh,
and where else can you go when you start adding the cost of for people with that? And so we weekly will run these specials to Mexico, to Alaska. If you're adventuresome, the Galapagos. I came back from the Galapagos. It changed my life. It's off of Ecuador, and you can study the Darwinian theory firsthand.
Cool.
And snorkel with the sea lions.
Yeah, I'm more intrigued by the Darwin Awards that are given out. Some of the things that people do. Anyway, you're again with CruiseBargains.com, 1-800-213-7777, 1-800-213-7777, or CruiseBargains.com. Sue Cook, I want to thank you so much for joining us, co-author of Turned On. Again, that is 8 vital insights to energizing your people, customers, and profit. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here. And I just one last comment. Couldn't help but remember Direct Relief International. For those of you who are passionate about customers, people, and profit and want to visit a place locally that gets it, who are their customers, how they inspire their people, go visit them out in Goleta.
And the name
fabulous organization, Direct Relief International. Best kept secret in Santa Barbara.
Terrific. Well, we certainly would like to encourage you to do that, as well as go out to the Elks Lodge on the 4th of July for the celebration. I'm thinking this year, because of the high fire danger out here on the Central Coast, let's use lights in the sky instead of shooting off sparklers that could catch things on fire. We can have just as much fun. Next week, we're going to have some fun with a returning guest and a good friend of mine, Greg Braden. He is going to be joining us and talking about his latest book, and it is Spontaneous Healing of Belief, which raised the question for me, and actually raises the question, does that mean that we need to be healed from our beliefs, our paradigms? Are there paradigms or beliefs that we don't need to be healed from? We're going to talk about that and a lot of other related things. He's also the author of The God Code, as well as The Divine Matrix. And Greg Braden will be my guest next Saturday here on Tell Me Your Story. As always, I encourage you to tune in every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can listen here on AM 1290 on the Central Coast. You can also hear us on the internet by clicking Listen Live at richarddugan.com. That's Richard, D-U-G-A-N.com. richarddugan.com. Email me, richard@richarddugan.com. Pretty self-explanatory and pretty easy to remember. And we will also have all of the good information about the upcoming guests, and they're available on the schedules page at richarddugan.com. Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices, giving you knowledge of those choices. We hope that you enjoyed the program today, and be sure to go to the website. You can listen again to the interview. I'm Richard Dugan. Have yourselves a great, great weekend. We'll see you, believe it or not, in the month of June. Love to all.